a long gospel reading this morning with all sorts of different facets. It's impossible to touch on them all. I won't even try. But what I want to do is give you a primer that will help us with this passage a little bit. Throughout the Old Testament, wells were important things. And there's more than a few stories where a specific thing happened at a well. Jacob, Isaac, and Moses all found their wives when they went to a well. That's our primer for this passage. There's something in Scripture, there's something, some kind of imagery that Scripture gives us where this well and marriage and finding a bride are kind of joined together into one thing. And so here in the New Testament, we have Jesus who has traveled through Samaria, which is a land that the Jews really don't like to be in. They try to avoid it whenever possible. Samaritans are enemies to the Jews. It goes back a long time. They worship differently. They behave differently. They just don't like each other. But Jesus has traveled into Samaria, and he finds himself at a well. He's thirsty, and to this well comes a Samaritan woman. Right off the bat, Jesus knows something about her. Because the woman comes at noon. It was the hottest part of the day. It was the time of day where people didn't go to the well. Most women would go get water early in the morning or late at night. But this woman wants to avoid conversation. She doesn't want to be around the other women. So she comes at the hottest part of the day when she knows no one will be there. She is a woman who is living in shame. Shame because of her sin, and Jesus will point this out to her. And so throughout her conversation, I read it as though she has a little bit of hurt to her voice. She's a little bit jaded. She's certainly not sure about this man who is now talking to her at a well. A man who shouldn't be talking to her because he's a Jew and a rabbi, and she is a Samaritan woman. But she is broken. She is full of shame, and she's doing what she can to avoid it. But the problem is, she ran into the wrong person. Because Jesus, right off the bat, starts working on her. He wants her. He wants her to have faith in him, to believe in him. He doesn't want her to have to live in shame anymore. And so he offers her living water. Water that is from the Spirit, that will give her and bless her and fill her with eternal life. But the woman is dubious. She doesn't really understand what Christ is getting at. She doesn't really know what he really is offering. And when he offers her living water, she still doesn't understand. She says, "Sir, you don't have a bucket. The well is deep. You can't do this." But Jesus persists, and eventually she talks about, well, where do I get this living water so I don't have to keep coming to this well? Even then, she doesn't understand that Christ is offering her more than actual physical water. He has life for her, but her guilt and her shame don't allow her to see it. So then Jesus brings her source of her shame right to the forefront. "Woman, go call your husband here." And to this, the woman says, "Well, I have no husband." And then Jesus really gets to it. "You are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." the thing that is causing her shame, the thing that causes her to go and avoid other women, to go into the heat of the day to do a laborious chore, is the thing that Jesus brings right to the forefront. He doesn't let her hide it anymore. He knows her sin. But what's interesting about this passage is that Jesus doesn't pick at the wound. The knife is there. He doesn't twist it around. He doesn't berate her for adultery. He doesn't come down upon her for her unfaithfulness. He just speaks what it is. He just tells her how it is. And then he leaves it at that. To this, the woman responds, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. What the woman is saying here is she knows that Jesus must be special because he has pointed out her sin. And this is the very thing that prophets do. And we've been learning this as we study an adult Bible study, how we went through the book of Amos and now are going through Hosea. And they are hard books to read because these prophets, all they seem to do is to point out sin. Jesus has done exactly that, and so she identifies him. Sir, I see that you're a prophet. She knows her sin. She knows the law. She knows her brokenness far too well. But what she doesn't know is where she should go from here. She tells Jesus, look, we Samaritans, we worship here on this mountain. You Jews, you worship in Jerusalem. What do we do? She doesn't know. She hasn't had a place where she can go where her sin is taken care of, truly taken care of. And so she starts to delve into this question with Jesus about worship and where grace is found. Because like the woman, all of us, we know our sin, don't we? We know far too well what our sin is, where we have failed the Lord. We know far too well the source and the cause of our shame, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our parenting, whether it's in our friendships that we've maybe messed up somehow by things we've said or done. We know our shame far too well, probably because we try hardest to hide it, just like the woman. She doesn't know where to go to receive grace, to receive forgiveness. She doesn't know where to go to worship, to find acceptance. And so Jesus tells her, it's not on your mountain, it's not in Jerusalem that you come to worship. There's a day that's coming where you worship in spirit and in truth. He tells her where grace is found. Grace, life, salvation is given by God who is Spirit. It is a well of living waters, waters that never run dry, that gush, that come from the source that is God Himself, and the woman needs to drink from it. The one who worships in spirit and truth is the one who knows the source of this water, the one who has the gift of God, the one whom the woman should be asking a drink of water from. And so the woman eventually is brought to a realization that this Jesus is the Messiah. It's the one they've been waiting for. He is the one who has what she needs, which is forgiveness, which is grace, a way out of her sin and away from the shame of being at the well at 12 o'clock. I I don't feel like I often need to point out your sin. I sure don't need mine pointed out. It's there in front of me every day. But what we do need to hear is what God has done for it. That the Lord has died for you. He has become that final sacrifice. So that through Christ, living waters are pouring out to you. That the Spirit of God can be in you. You who are forgiven, who are repentant and sorrowful for your sin. In grace, in Christ, you have grace, you have redemption, you have the Lord. And like the woman, all we need to do is receive what Jesus desires to give us. Many, if not most of us, have received that first in the waters of baptism. We receive it each Sunday when we read and hear the Word of God. Today we receive that again at the table as we eat and drink of the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sin. What a wonderful gift we have to receive life from Jesus Christ. There's one interesting aspect about this passage that I do feel I need to bring to our attention. It's one that easily could be overlooked. And most sermons I would stop right here. I'd stop on the word that is our forgiveness and what God has for us in store. But this is a long passage and there's something here that we need to look at. Halfway through this passage, the disciples come back. For most of this conversation, it's just been Jesus and the Samaritan woman having this discussion that goes many different ways. And then the disciples come back, and as they come back, they see that Jesus is talking to a woman at a well. And they know the imagery of the Old Testament. They know that this is a place where you can find a wife. But there's nothing right about this woman. Not only is she a Samaritan, but she's talking to a rabbi. And not only is she doing this, but she's here at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Something's not right about that. She's hiding something. Now, throughout the Gospels, the disciples, frankly, are idiots. They often are saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, and they're getting things wrong about Jesus all the time. Peter especially is just terrible at this. But here, they actually get something right. They see Jesus talking to this woman, and they don't say anything. In fact, John, the gospel writer, tells us this. They don't say, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" They just let Jesus do his work on the woman. They let Jesus approach this woman who's had a lot of brokenness in her life, broken relationships, and they see Jesus, the great groom of the church, approaching a woman that he wants to be part of that church, to be part of the great bride of Christ. And he restores something that was broken. And the disciples let Jesus do it. They don't point out her shame. They don't ridicule her for being there or Jesus for talking to her. They let Jesus get on with his work. Far too often in our church, we don't let Jesus do the work he wants to do with sinners. Sometimes we need to bring those people to Jesus, that's for sure. We need to be a vehicle for them to come and hear the word. But far too often we speak when we shouldn't. We know our shame, but we don't often see that we stand in the way. So this morning, as we reflect on this gospel, Hear the words of Christ for you who has living water and living water abundantly for you, who desires to give you his Spirit, to bring you out of those places that we feel shame and feel sin, to draw you to repentance and to receive his forgiveness at the table. And hear also the testimony of the disciples who do not stand in the way of the work of Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and most holy Father, we thank you for Christ, who is the living water, who is the source of all that is good. O Lord, if we do not know our sin, would you point it out to us? O Lord, though most importantly, point out the place where we know we can find forgiveness, find grace, find restoration, and find healing from our brokenness. Draw us to your table, O Lord, where we hear your words, body of Christ given for you, blood of Christ shed for you, for the forgiveness of sin. We pray this in your name. Amen.